It's another episode of Hot Take Point, mate. I have a slightly bad throat for this one, but don't worry. Some people didn't like to listen to me talk anyway. Never stopped me before, so I'll continue doing so. Right, obviously on this episode, it will be the usual collection of potentially insane, potentially incredibly cold, potentially middle of the road hot takes. And there will be a fan-generated hot take that you, the audience, have submitted. And I'll get later on to how you can indeed go ahead and submit your own hot take, potentially to appear on a future episode of Hot Take Point. But the question is, who has a hot take to start?
Well, we all, I'll let you do this one.
Yeah, I'll take it.
But you're fresh today. You look fresh.
Thank you.
You might have some spicy one for us now.
I had a really good weekend. I had a really, really good weekend. Okay. Okay. So, I once again have to go in on some CS royalty. Feels like eventually someone has to tear down these walls.
Okay.
So at the beginning, this guy was great. I rated him very highly. Okay. I'll just say now who it is. Okay, so FaZe's coach, not talked about enough. All right. A lot of fans have to get mad at this one. They're gonna be like, how is he once again going at yet another Polish coach? And I'm not there's no agenda. There is no agenda. I have to let you know. There is absolutely no agenda. Okay. I rate many Polish players quite highly. I let the body of work speak for itself in my judgment of these players. So for the beginning of CS2, I thought it was almost undisputed that Neo was the best coach. First events, IEM Sydney, they won it. Chinese Championship, they won it. Second place at four consecutive tournaments, Fall Final, World Final, IEM Katowice, Copenhagen Major. Then they win Chengdu after their bounce back event. So for the first 6 months of CS2, their average tournament placing with Neo just becoming the head coach was roughly 1.5. They were placing better than second place on average at every tournament for the first seven events of CS2. Now we look at the last seven tournaments. Knocked out at the quarterfinals of London. Last place at EWC. Failed to make the LAN portion at the Blast Bounty. Failed to make the playoffs of IEM Cologne. They got to the quarterfinals of the major with Simple, but it was a lower bracket finish at Dallas when they had Skulls instead of Rain. And then they came in sixth place at Rivals. I'm mirroring the amount of events that I talked about on the front end of CS2 with now the back end of what Neo has done with FaZe. And they own at the Blast Rivals event, which is the last one I'm talking about, the only maps they won at that event were against FlyQuest. Okay. Like, they have had a horrible track record. To top it all off, they couldn't work with the Liege. They had to get Jacob instead of him. That's supposed to be up to the IGL. That's supposed to be up to the individual player. And that's supposed to be up to the coach to try to smooth things over. They now have a player that is vastly inferior to who is now sitting on their bench in the Liege. And they couldn't make one of the best T-side players in the world for the last 6 months work on a team that is now struggling and has been struggling to even, on average, qualify for playoffs. That's well beneath what he did at the beginning. And now I just need to say, Neo needs to be on the hot seat. If he doesn't produce results or at least a semifinals finish for this season, you have to look at replacing him.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a hot take. I'll give you that. It is a hot take.
Yeah, it is ish. But I was going to ask you, but then you answered it at the end because you said I would replace him. But because I was going to ask you, what would you do? Right. What would you do if you are?
Do you have anyone you would take instead? Is there something is there a type of player you at their type or a specific coach you'd bring in? Is there a style or someone that you have in mind?
The style is that you probably just want somebody that can help get players from different backgrounds to work better together. Because FaZe has always been this kind of at the beginning, all of the positive. Everything that came out from the FaZe camp positive about Neo was actually kind of like the opposite of Rauban, where Rauban was this guy that helped smooth everything over. You couldn't really tell what his true impact of the team was because it was more intangibles. It wasn't just bringing strats. Neo, on the other hand, they talked about in interviews and when I talked to them that he brought a great strat book for them. They had a lot of ideas in the beginning. It seemed like, and this often happens with a lot of players, kind of a honeymoon sort of merchant, kind of really, really big in that era or that part of the team, but then kind of tapers off in terms of work ethic. And so I would want a guy that, I mean, one, Neo could get himself back into that form by just diving through all the demos, getting all of the most meta utility possible, bringing that to FaZe Clan, like putting in the actual legwork of the team. And I know that an analyst should probably be there to assist it, but coaches did it for the eight years of professional Counter-Strike before analysts were really on these teams. So I think it's up to the coach just as much. And if I were to see anybody, I mean, the obvious answer is Ash. That always feels like a cop-out because it just seems like he is the best, like, tier 1.5 coach right now. I don't really see anybody else on the market today where I'm just instantly saying, this guy is a FaZe caliber coach. So that's the easy answer, at least.
Yeah, okay. The thing is, like, what I feel when I think about Neo right now, I think he's just a product of FaZe. Like, he came into that organization as a player, right, first. He played there, and then he was benched or whatever, removed. And then he came back as a rookie coach. He stayed there for, what, 4 years now? 3-4 years now? I can't even remember when he was at it. Maybe 2022.
As a coach in 2023. Yeah. As a coach in 23.
Two and a half years. I think he's just a product of FaZe environment and the FaZe as an organization, right? You can expect him. He's a rookie coach. He didn't know what the fuck was going on, right? Even when he was in a player, the coaches were not so evolved and not so, I guess, developed as an integral part of the team back then, right? When he was an actual high-tier player, an elite player, or whatever you want to call it. So him not doing well, I believe it has to do a small part with him and a big part of what's going on in FaZe. Now, what's going on in FaZe is that Kerrigan is doing everything by himself. It feels like he's making all the decisions by himself. I feel like the whole conversation when it's the swapping players scenario or picking other players or changing players is like everybody stayed their opinion, but at the end, Kerrigan is the one who makes the move. You know, he's the one that kind of makes them believe in that decision that the dead player is good, and Neo is the one that agrees with it, and he just does the strategical stuff and sometimes the human relationship, which is not, obviously not his stronger side, and then he ends up just being one of the guys. I blame him in a sense that he didn't kind of develop the authority and kind of the main figure and the leader of the team in that sense, and maybe that's the reason I would replace him and that go into the another direction with Ash or whoever, right? That can, you know, develop. But I still think the FaZe, their main problem and the reason why is he not talked about is because they have bigger issues. Issues in Raid, issues in Kerrigan, issues in the organization, issues now in roles and the fact that they had one of the best players right now in the world, in Elige, and couldn't make it work with him. Is that Neo's fault? Maybe to an extent. But let's take into account other people's responsibilities in that team and Elige himself. You know, what did he do to make himself undesirable in that team, right? What happened? Like, is that Neo's fault that he might have been this or that or toxic or God knows what else, right? No. And he's not some sort of a magical person that can just, fix everything, right, by saying 5 nice words. No, it's about the player who needs to work hard, do his thing, and just play and be like a part of the team, right? Obviously, I understand where you're coming from, but the thing is, like, even though maybe Duncan has a sore throat, but I also having a hard time swallowing this one, you know, and I don't think I agree with this.
Nah, this is bull. I'm going to call you out on this, Kassan. Here's why. You're just doing two things here. One, you worship Neo because he was one of the greatest players ever. Probably the best 1.6 player ever, right? True? That's factoring into this. Two.
Yeah, one of the best, yes.
Keep that energy, homie, that you have for Zonic, for Neo. Go on then, mate. Give me the fair treatment that you give Zonic, Neo now. Go on. I've never heard you say a single one of those words about Zonic. You've never said, maybe the player just made himself undesirable and didn't play the way he used to in Ents.
No, you never said any of that.
What you did is you went, you paid millions for these players who should play great. You know what? Every player FaZe brings in, except Jacob, is like the HLTV top 20 player, mate. These are the best players in the world. They joined this team in theory to win the major. So what at that point in time, like, Neo isn't Ash, mate. He doesn't get game elite. He doesn't get Kersey and go, well, maybe Kersey just sucks, not Ash's fault. Like, why are you being so, you're guarded. You're just fucking, essentially, Maui just said, I'm going to take a shot at the king. And you went, Mr. President, get down. And you just took all fucking bullet for him.
Listen, I'll give you the response right now. And it's going to be short and very clear one.
Go on.
Sonic picked the players. Neo didn't.
Then why is Neo there?
I'll bridge into what I'm going to say.
Here's where I disagree with you, Kassad. You just made a brilliant case, inadvertently, as to why Neo should be replaced. You said he doesn't pick the players. He doesn't have control because Carrigan does. By the way, I'll translate that for you. He can't get his org to agree that he's the person who knows best who the players are. He can't get his in-game leader to give him buy-in. By the way, I can tell you right now, there are coaches. By the way, I even think Zonic was one of them. There are coaches I think can win Carrigan over, and Carrigan will cede authority to them. Have you ever seen, I don't normally do this, but this is a rare case where I will. I have watched a lot of the behind-the-scenes footage of FaZe, because obviously there's all that bag of shit when they do for the events, and then Carrigan's comms videos, I'm sure you guys have as well. Do you remember early on in CS2? Because obviously those were the most fun ones, weren't they? Now he says they were always in the final. It was always like the cool fight phase vibe. If you ever saw on those videos, I always used to think the weirdest dynamic of all was Neo and Carrigan. Because even though, by the way, Carrigan should be in Kassad's seat. He should be like, listen, mate, I used to be a player in 1.6 and Neo was still paying me. That should be like Ronaldo to Zidane, Kassad, where of course Zidane's the one person who can get the buy for Ronaldo. I don't even care if Zidane was ever actually a good coach in football. The point there is you've got one of the only people ever who Ronaldo might go, maybe this guy doesn't know better than me. That's why that's a good coach. Here's what's weird. It was never like that in those videos. If you ever watched those videos, you would think that Carrigan was the coach, bro. Neo almost had like a fun brother vibe with everyone else. And then with Neo, it's almost like Neo was, and with Carrigan, sorry, it's almost like Neo was the nephew and Carrigan was the uncle. Like he almost like gave him always the space and gave him the final word, it felt like, or when they were discussing things, it would be like he agreed with Carrigan or something. And I always thought this is weird because there's my problem. I also think it was quite similar with Robban. In fact, I don't even make that big distinction Maui does. To me, I think that Neo was kind of done just like a different version of what Robban did. I think his job is to be someone that the players respect, someone the players look up to. You deal with some of the conflicts. By the way, one thing a coach does that people never give credence for is sometimes you want a coach, by the way, just so the IGL can talk to the coach privately and then the coach can deliver the message to the players. You don't always want what you want changing as an IGL to come out of your mouth, because then they might attack you or it might seem different coming from you, somebody who's in the server with them. So I'm not saying he doesn't do anything, but I am saying if we're going to look at all these problems in the team, and at this point in time, let's be real, the only person fans don't want cut from FaZe is either Rain if they really love him, or Frozen because he's the best. People wanted Brokey gone. By the way, no FaZe fan as far as I can tell wanted Brokey back. Carrigan, I've seen plenty of people say Fraggin's too bad. Maybe it's time for him to become the coach. By the way, that alone is a giveaway. No one thinks Neo's a good coach. Everyone's default answer for Carrigan is he should just retire and become the coach of FaZe Clan. That implies you don't think FaZe Clan currently has a coach. Like, what are we doing here? So my problem with this whole topic is I used to do the same thing you did, Kassad, about a lot of my favourite IGLs, MSL back in the day, Alexi B. And here's what I had to realise over time. If they can't actually get buy-in from their org, their star player, or generally the people they need it from, that's actually a failing of them as well as other people. There can be rare cases where a player's just an asshole and won't listen, he's the problem. But I do think it is a skill to learn as a coach or an in-game leader, any kind of leader. Your leadership isn't automatically bestowed upon you. That respect, you have to earn it and you have to get people to buy in because you make good decisions, because you communicate, because you hold yourself in a certain way. I just haven't seen that from Neo personally. So again, it is a coach. I will say with every coach, I can't technically know. Maybe they are doing some secret shit behind the scenes. I just don't get the vibe he is. I sort of agree with Maui. If you're going to consider moving people on, this would be one of the ones I would consider moving on.
Yes.
And then also, lastly, I'll throw this out there. This is where I want to do a quick thought experiment for people. Think back to season one this year, the one that we just finished with Vitality being the best team and Mouse second. Right, in that season, these two coaches, we all think are excellent coaches. Saw from Heroic had that squad where he had to get the Sangal cord, you remember? By the way, he was getting results comparable to FaZe Clan's. Then how about Blade? Yeah, he had the number one team last year, but they were falling off hard in season one. Still better than FaZe Clan. If I gave those two coaches at the beginning of 2025, this FaZe roster that Carrigan got in season one, where it had a lesion, I think we all think they would make more of it, mate. They'd figure out a way. They'd find a way to make it work. Basically, to bring it all the way back, it's like what Maui said at the beginning. The real way you sort of know no one, people might defend Neo, but no one really ever says he's a good coach. People just don't talk about him, bro. He just doesn't exist. When you talk about FaZe, we've gone back in time, 16 years, and it's just five players in a court, and that's it.
That's where you kind of accidentally agree with me when I said, like, he's just there. That is the thing. I agree with your points. They are absolutely on you know, on the spot, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think you understood me when I said the except like all the points that you made are fine except the Zonic one, which is nonsense. But the other ones are completely fine, right? I don't think you understood me. I am not saying that there is no blame on Neo. I am blaming him for not establishing authority over 2 years, over Kerrigan, not doing anything when it comes to this like roster changes, not going to the org and saying, listen, we cannot do this like this. Or if you cannot do that, just step away.
Yeah.
Step out.
Well, why? Listen, I like that cassette because what I've done is I've made you reformulate what you said. Instead of being a bunch of vague waffle that Neo might feel good about and he might give you a fucking fist bump in a bar one time, I actually made you just say it the right way. I made you actually say it.
Fuck that. I think I said it in the first time, maybe just in the wrong way, in a different way.
What got to him was the idea he'd be the sellout in the bar there, Mario. I knew the need to put him there. You know what I mean?
The point is,
the fist bump,
now
the fist bump really
point.
Got him.
I know it got to him, didn't it? I know.
Doesn't want to just seem chummy with everybody because
No.
Never
the thing
a sellout.
Is, like, the bottom line is, for me, FaZe has much deeper problems.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree with that.
And, but, that's just the way
and,
it is.
And for the record, Cassad, I would never accuse you, Cassad, of ever going along to get along with people at a LAN in that way, not upsetting people in the community. But enough about the stories I've heard behind the scenes. anyway. Oh, yeah, one last thing as well. I won't do it now because Maui's done a better take. But actually, I'll even build into it. There's an angle I don't think people have fully come to realise. I've just been around the scene a long time. I know people's brains work. I can see things coming a couple of steps before. I'll tell you what's going to happen towards the end of this season, which will show you how fucked FaZe is, that it's not one player and it's not one thing. It's like you probably need to change it half the team and the coach and all. But here's where you know FaZe is fucked. Get ready when we come near to that major and FaZe is at a bunch of these lands where they do nothing. I have a prediction for you. People will say, and this was never said about any FaZe player ever, people will say, save Frozen. Free Frozen from Elo Hell. Frozen needs to go to a better team. Then all the narratives coming into that major will be like, Frozen should join Liquid. Frozen should join Na'Vi. Right now, people are against that move, you notice, Mau, when people say Frozen's going to Na'Vi. Some people kind of are just like, oh, whatever, they don't really matter. I think that will become the narrative later on. Because I think this FaZe clan, we talked about it in the past episode, I think this FaZe clan is just going to be irrelevant, bro. They're going to be like 8th to 12th at all the events or something, you know, like, they're not going to win anything. So it's going
to
be sad.
They have so few win conditions game to game.
It's such a weird thing to say. Yeah, FaZe. They're just not going to win anything. And it's so true at the same time.
Because here's the problem, mate.
Many years we can say that same.
Yeah, but that's my point. In the past years, even last year, bro, even in that second season when they were bad, the logic with FaZe is actually the thing people say about Falcons, but not as a joke. They were always only one star away from being the best again. If they'd have done the right move in any of those past seasons, they could be number one immediately. Bro, you could bring any... I'm not even joking. You could bring... Here's a hot take. You could bring either Ziwu or Donk to FaZe right now for whatever player you want, and they still wouldn't win most of the events, and they wouldn't be the number one team. There's a hot take for you. You can pick. You can have Ziwu or Donk. So are we taking out Frozen? You pick who you want. Either of those players. You can only have one, but that would not make FaZe number one, in my opinion. Anyone dispute that?
No, not really.
It's tough. I mean, what? Donk for... Donk.
Do it.
Donk.
Go on, do it. Fully walk the thought out. Which player are you replacing first? You can pick.
I would get Donk. For sure.
Okay, who are we taking out?
Probably Jacob.
Okay, so we're running with Rain, Carrigan, Donk, Frozen, and Brokey. Listen, I don't even need to say the jokes, bro. I know what you mean. The more you put it together, you're like, that's still not quite enough. And by the way, Maui, if getting Donk for free in this analogy, that doesn't fix it. I mean, in a weird way, that actually did help Neo. We just sort of helped him. That it's not just him, is it? But it is also him as well. It's not just him, and he's not the biggest problem, but he is one problem within all the problems, you know?
No, it's just, I mean, Frozen and Donk seems like a great
combo. Sounds pretty mega.
Paper, but
yeah.
You just need a little more.
This still wouldn't be better than Vitality, though, you know what I mean?
That's it.
Probably, if we're being real.
No, they wouldn't be. I wouldn't see it.
That's why, sadly, even though at the time it was a bomber, because obviously we all loved that FaZe clan, the smartest guy, I'm sorry, was Rops. It's a joke because Twist's left at the wrong time. Rob's actually hopped off that train as it was going off the edge of a cliff, mate. Like, that guy's a genius. Like, yeah, we're all idiots. He's a genius, mate. He actually got it. That's why the only thing that would have been more swaggy is if he actually had won the major and then fucking jumped to Vitality still anyway. Like, then he would actually seem beyond goated, wouldn't he? Because, by the way, from what I've heard behind the scenes, that is what would have happened. Even if he'd have won that major, he was still going pro. So, like, that would have been even more goated.
But yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. On Hot Take Point Made, we like to think we're right. And in convincing you of as much, we get money. Well, you can follow in our footsteps because if you're right at Prize Picks, you can get paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. The beauty of Prize Picks is how easy it is. Find your sport or esports title and just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. If you're right, you could cash in. In American football, it could be as simple as if Saquon Barkley gets more than or less than one rushing touchdown. They have Counter-Strike as well, as I'll get to in a second. They also have a flex player feature where you can still cash out even if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. Now, there is the Falcons versus Payne game coming up, and I am going to select Tesses on more or less than 26 kills. I'm going to say less. I think he struggles in his role. I actually think Payne's a fairly compact team with a strong identity, and I think he's the sort of player who potentially gets farmed by them, even if some of the stars on his teams might carry. Also, on the side of pain, I'm going to take NQZ, their AWPA, to get less than 27.5 kills over the first two maps. I actually think he's going to have a hard matchup into Monacy. I think he's playing some of the best aggressive riflers in the world on the side of Falcons. I think less for that one too. So download the app today. Use the code HOTTAKE, all one word, to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code HOTTAKE to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
All right, who's next? All right,
next.
Here's the thing, I think we do the fan take now. And the reason why is I want to unite everyone in the destruction of the fans, as usual. So,
before we go.
After that, we can all just go completely ham. So, as usual, if you want to submit a fan take, subscribe to the Last Free Nation Discord, and then there is a section. It's called something like Crewmates, because obviously we have that, like, nautical pirate theme. And then within that, there's a bunch of channels for the different shows you can submit questions. Submit the one that says CS-hot-takes, and that's where you put them. If you don't want us to read your name out, please say so. So here we go. Fighter Pilot says, ZeeWoo will never win another major again. Vu's tweet about ZeeWoo being the greatest system player of all time and being the goat of hitting the easy shot is all too true. By the way, shout out to Vu for fucking baiting this guy into this. ZeeWoo performs at his best and can win when there's a competent team around him where every cylinder is firing. Players like Donk and Simple create magic out of thin air and do the impossible. ZeeWoo will do what's needed at an above average level. I just have to speak it out of my mouth, unfortunately. He can't transcend in that same way to will his team across the line. It's pure sports ball, by the way. Don't worry, I'll keep it going. His win in Blast Paris was a fluke in the sense that no team will ever have a softer playoff bracket. His most recent major win, by the way, you're just discounting two whole majors here, but I'll keep going. And then the other major, that was nothing too. Like, mate, you don't trip over, but okay, I'll get back into it. His most recent major win was off the back of a super team who lost one series all season. Vitality won't get back to that level, and every other team has either figured them out, all of them, and it's almost like porn for me how bad these takes are, or the other teams leveled up themselves. Oh, it has everything. This is so delicious, mate. It's like my bingo of retarded takes, right? It's also unlikely he'll ever be part. It's also unlikely he'll ever be part of another team as good as the first half of 2025 Vitality again. Not really the diss this guy thinks it is, but fair enough. I'm not saying he's incapable of winning another S-tier tournament, but in terms of a major, never again. Right? I'll just leave that to you, boys. You go to town on that. Who wants to go first?
Oh, Molly, you can go.
Yeah, sure. I mean, first of all, ZeeWoo's not the GOAT system player, it's Device. Device is the GOAT system player. He's the best player in the best system ever. That's why he's Moses's goat. You know, he just wants to see a system function. Donk and Simple are the most individualistic hyper carries ever. And then Zywoo, just like his weapon choice in the game, he's the perfect hybrid. So I already disagree with the fundamental principle here of this. And moving on from that, yeah, Paris had very weak competition. I can't take it away from him. I never would take it away from him. I can't believe it's like the news right now. It's like it's making me defend people I never thought I would just because the politics align lightly with mine. Like I'm not gonna get into any more about that. But it's just like I'm having to go to bat now for people that I never thought I would have to align myself with just because the idea on the other side, this time being the fan take, is so against what I believe that I have to now fight for Zywoo again. I feel like this is the second time I've had to fight for Zywoo in a fan take. So I think, if anything, these fan takes are doing a great job of just baiting us into being Zywoo lovers.
Yeah.
Because we just can't go this far off the deep end and retain any sense of credibility.
Also, by the way, I know what fans are like. Right, the same fan that normally hates us will actually be thinking, I'm not even joking, Mario, I've seen this before. They'll be thinking like, oh, finally, they made some good points. But then next week when we're like, Steve was not the goat, they're like, either you're hating him again. Like, they go straight back to him. You're right, you are exactly. Right. In a weird way, we're the Zywoo defenders on this one. What about you, Kassan? Are you going to defend Zywoo on this one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just going to attack the guy who wrote it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, go for it.
Like, the thing is, like, we should have some sort of an esports prison. Or some sort of
gulag system for people bad
gulag
takes.
System where we just three of us or whatever, like we sentence these people with these takes to some sort of a, you know, lifetime jail in the esports gulag or whatever.
We're doing that metaphorically with shame right now, so go ahead.
Okay, the thing is, like, Zywoo has a lifetime rating of 133.
That's all right. I guess that is above average if you insist, Kassan, you know.
Lifetime.
I know.
Career started about 2019,
18. That's pretty insane. That is pretty insane.
For 7 years, he's putting an average rating of 133. Speaking of not creating magic, have you not watched? What's the name of this person?
Fighter Pilot.
Did you not watch the Mirage game? In the very last final, they lost against G2, where he just dominated throughout the whole. That's the one of the most dominated maps in the finals any player has ever had.
Ever. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Like, great.
So that's one point. There is no downside in Zywoo's game. Rifle, great. Pistol, great. Op, I mean, we don't even talk about it. Decision making, clutching, entering. Like, how many times in the last seven years, in different variations of Vitality, we saw him going in first successfully? So if you think about the downside of Zywoo's game, can you even name one? Any of you, like both of you.
I'll get to it, but I wouldn't say so, no.
Just there is no downside. That's what makes...
He couldn't speak English for the first three months that they went to an international lineup.
Fuck, that's average. No, the thing is, like, there is no downside to this person. He doesn't have any stains in the 7 years of his career. He has not been publicly saying anything, got into arguments of anything, any kind. He won a couple of majors. He won Grand Slam. He won all these events. He went through the pain of playing with... Shoxes and
Misuta, Kyojin, all those fuckers.
Kyojin,
everyone.
Misutas and everything. Yeah. So he went through it all and managed to have 133 lifetime.
Yeah.
Nobody except for possibly Donk and maybe one more or two more players.
Maybe Simple, but that'd be about it.
Maybe Simple. Maybe. And nobody can match that.
No, I don't think so, man.
So saying that he's a little above average is just nonsense. And it's pure... madness. I don't think, like, we should even discuss any of this anymore at all. Past your opinion, we should forget about this guy forever.
I know what you mean. Like, put it this way, I'll actually start with an analogy for people, because I already think there's a massive mistake in how this guy's characterised the players, which has ended up with him saying things like, in context, that he thinks like Zebu is like above average in some area. Like, what area are you talking about, bro? Like, as I just said there, essentially, like, even if you are a critic, he'd be like, you know, fourth best ever in certain categories. Like, spoiler, that makes you amazing. Like, I'll give you the quick analogy, right? Well, I'm a big fan of tennis, and especially I was a massive fan of the Big Three, Big Four era of the last 20 years. And one thing that used to always infuriate me is the same kind of fanboy talking, where what they do is, my favorite player was Federer, right? So if everyone remembers when Federer used to play Nadal, the reason why Federer used to actually have a losing record in that head-to-head is because the weakest shot, I'm doing air quotes if you're listening, of Federer's game is he's one of the rare players that still does a single-handed backhand, right? People like Nadal and Djokovic do the double-handed one where you hold on to it, so does Murray, etc. Almost everyone does in the modern day. Now, the problem with this is, right, it was not that Federer had a bad backhand or he was weak or his flaw was his backhand. If you don't know, he had a phenomenal backhand. His problem was against that specific opponent, who was a left-handed opponent and who was hitting with loads of topspin, it was making the ball go where it's the worst for a single-hand backhand, right? So the point here is this. Federer isn't bad at his backhand. That's just not his strength, and there are people who are better. If you can understand that logic, you'll understand what I'm saying about Zebu. I agree with Cassad. Notice I didn't interrupt Cassad and go like this guy did with the narratives. Well, no, Cassad, he does have flaws. You know, he doesn't have that killer instinct and he doesn't take over the game. That's all narrative sports bullshit. That shit only matters when you're only comparing him against simple, and by the way, not even normal modesty, just peak modesty or just peak donk now. You know, the absolute like two or three best players either in the world or ever. Right, that's not, I agree. Even if you take the error, Zebu doesn't take over that much. Who does then? Like three people ever. It's not a flaw. It just isn't it isn't his biggest strength. So first of all, I would even dispute that part. Like, I'm sorry, every aspect of Zebu's game is unbelievable and is close to a 10 out of 10. Like, put it this way, if every category had a rating, his worst rating might be like an 8 out of 10, and that might be like taking over the game. And that's only because I'm taking simple as the best at taking over the game. Like, I don't know. By the way, how many people, I always used to say this in basketball, when people in basketball only have conversations about like Michael Jordan and Kobe and LeBron, you may that like normal stars don't hit game winners, mate. They do like three in their whole career or like 10 or something. Like, that's, it's actually rare that you do that. You're not bad at hitting last second shots. Most people, in fact, even the best players miss the like game winning shot, where they just were able to hit a couple of very memorable ones. That's why we consider them the GOAT. So I think this guy, the real problem here is this. He's taken what are like narratives that might be used in media or on desks, and he's just used them as if they were like actual pieces of evidence. Like, those are just ways of telling a story. And as I say, it depends what you're comparing. If you're comparing simple to Zebu, it might look like Zebu has flaws. If you're comparing Zebu to every other player that ever played CS, he looks way better than most of them, almost all of them, in fact. And I agree with Cassad. Like, it's why, if you notice one thing I've never said that a fan always misses, if I'm a hater of Zebu, wouldn't I just say this sentence? I wouldn't want Zebu on my team. Spoiler, if I can't have simple, this is the next player I'm going for. I might even take this guy ahead of Donk, because actually, you know what, that whole thing of like, he doesn't take up, well, maybe I can actually like put other stars around him and I can give them, I don't know, I can do that with Donk. Maybe Donk has to play the game this way. I have no fucking clue. So I could even make that argument. So no, I actually agree totally. And if we're going to bring this back to, he won't win a major. You've fucked up your own point when you admit that he can win. You admit that he has a super team that won all the tournaments. By the way, you know what you missed pointing out there? He was the MVP of all those tournaments. So by definition, he's the biggest reason they won all those tournaments, guys. I know in your brain, you go, no, Thorin, it's because Rops joined. If Rops joined FaZe again, would they win seven tournaments? They wouldn't, would they? Because they don't have Zebu, mate. So first of all, that's a point for Zebu, not against him. And secondly, if you say out loud the sentence, he can win another S-tier tournament, but then your logic is he can't win a major, that doesn't even make sense, because it's easier to win a major with a BO3 final than it is to win an S-tier tournament with the same fucking teams in. And so if you can win an S-tier tournament, as long as it's a real one, not like one of these Yal Compass, then you can win the major. You just can. Hence why, by the way, I'll give you a quick example. Didn't Mongols make the final of a major before they made the final of any other state tournaments not called Yal Compass? They did. So anyway, that's a quick way to say, there you go, there's our Zebu defense squad moment. In that, for that one moment, there you go, Zebu fans, we actually did fight your case for you. And that was pretty fair.
Yeah, I mean, we did. But it, like you said, it's going to be forgotten next week when you say, like,
of course. Don't worry about that.
He didn't have a great match.
By the way, I'll tell you what my actual favorite one, because I don't like stupid points. I like dumb points that just are funny because of how bad they are. My favorite Zemu fan comment to me is when they tell me I must just be racist against French people. Right, so you ready, Kassad? Thorin, probably the biggest Kenny S stan of all time, hates French people. I can't even process it, mate. If anything, I'm incredibly biased towards really good French players like Chocks, Kenny S. I mean, I know he's Belgian, but fucking existence, all those guys. NBK did not ride with him till a bit of fucking... I was still trying to argue exactly, he should be in Mouse, for fuck's sake. Spoiler, I was wrong on that one. But you know what? I was still arguing it. Like, so that, if anything, you've actually found the one French player I don't particularly like, apparently. So congrats, but okay. And even then, the idea, I don't like him. I just don't like his fans. I actually love fucking Zemu's game. He's mega. I agree with Kassad, by the way. That actual Mirage game, first of all, it would be a contender for the best CS2 map played by anyone so far. And it would probably be like top 20 all time. That, considering it was in a final, that was fucking epic. That was really good. I know it wasn't like fucking really good.
Like,
it was nuts.
When he went to that B side to one tap that guy, he did it from stone. He was like, I'm going to tap this guy, just hold my fucking beer. Just went there, pop.
Yes.
That's it. He planned it. He didn't go. You never see Zyro goes B holes in the fucking T side of Mirage.
Oh yeah,
he
that's just went for it. You've reminded me of something. Without making a whole separate thing, I'll do like the 30-second version. I do think there is such a thing as a system player. But the problem is, when they use that, even though that's actually supposed to mean in NFL that you like play according to the offense and you don't go outside yourself and try and shoot long bombs all the time. And if you do, you do the check down if there's nothing to throw. What people miss is this. I do believe Tom Brady is a system quarterback. But he was fucking amazing at it, and he was able to also freelance outside of that. He definitely could have moments where he didn't do the check down, and if he had an amazing player like Gronkowski or fucking Randy Moss, he definitely did throw the long bomb. Like, he could do it. The point is, it depends when he come out of it. So I think that is way more device than Zemu. What Kassad's describing there, what system is that? That's like you've done the Nico go kill thing, you idiots. What the system is, Zemu, when you rotate back to the A site on fucking Mirage, just like win a 1v3 and no scope. What are you talking about? That's not a system. No one else could do that. Like, he did not. The system is like, right, cut, like on T side, he goes first and then you follow up. That's just tactics, for fuck's sake. Everyone's doing that.
That would be like on freeze time on Death Round Apex.
I know.
Hey, Zyro, can you just go quickly kill that guy? We one tap him on, but he jumps so we can have we can do a Astralis split after that.
Yes.
There is nothing systematic there. He felt it, he killed him. They won.
You know, there's a famous saying that goes like, the problem with acting stupid is like, eventually people will just assume you are stupid. The gist of it, something like that. I don't think people get Nico go kill was to make fun of people who are the people who now think Nico go kill is an actual strategy. It was a mockery of you guys. The point was, Carrigan never did just go, Nico, go kill. He was like, Nico, we're going to create a fight for you in the connector here, mate. Right, now you do what you want after that. They really think that he actually did go, Nico, you just go kill a couple and then we'll do this. What are you talking about? So anyway, there are systems, but they're not like you guys think. You're not remote controlled by the IGL, put it that way. In the same way as Tom Brady definitely played the way the Patriots wanted, but he also did fucking Tom Brady things, mate. He was also a really good player. Because, like, by the way, I have the same thing in the NFL, just because I don't think Tom Brady's the goat. Now I have all the people who think he's shit going like, yeah, you're on our side. It's like, I'm definitely not. Like, in no fucking universe am I on your side, homie. In fact, in this convo, if I talk to you, I'm going to seem like the fan of Tom Brady. Anyway, enough about Tom Brady, enough about Zemu. Now we'll go on to the next point.
All right, I think it's me, yeah?
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, where should I take this? I was going to take it to Falcons and go Nico, and then I decided against it because it's kind of a...
Is there a whole section of your brain just dedicated? Listen, I have one. I have a whole wing dedicated to Simple and fucking people in League of Legends. Is there a whole wing for you about Falcons? Like, watch today's Falcon. Let's get up and start grinding the fucking corn. You know, we've got to make the bread. Oh, now we're baking the Falcon's steak. Are you just working on Falcon's steaks all the time?
Oh, yeah, every time. Fucking time.
Okay.
But the thing is, I'm going to take it the other way. I'm going to mention somebody who we didn't mention so far, who showed up on the scene and kind of surprised me. I think he surprised most of the people. And I'm going to say that Molodoy is the top three opera right now.
Is that a hot take?
Three.
I
would say three. Three is hot.
I carefully said three. And I would put.
Oh, so you're taking out, you taking out She-Ra and Monacy here. Okay, right. Let's see. Who are we taking out?
Three is high.
I am taking out, obviously, She-Ra and Monacy. And I'm putting number one is Zaibu and number two, Torji.
Maui, okay. He's done it again. Crack. Maui, he's done it again. The hot take is that Torji's the second best op, not the fucking Molodoy one. That's a way hot take.
Kassad, you are on drugs.
I know.
You are on drugs.
You have to be a Kassad. I hope you understand. Maui is one of the biggest. By the way, Maui's boys are like Yukinda, Frozen, Torji. He's even the biggest fucking Torji defender of all time, and even he's not going to agree with you on this one, bro. So, here's what give us the reasons, though. Give us the reasons. I need to know
this
the reasons.
This kid, like, I'm going to like compare him, like, let's say, to She-Ra, right? She-Ra has Donk in his team. And they still struggle in some in the games they shouldn't struggle.
Sure.
The impact of She-Ra is not nowhere near, if you compare it to impact that Molodoy has on it with his op when his team plays. Molodoy is the first and only reason why Furia became relevant in any kind of sense right now. You can say the Furia is what? Top six team now? Top five?
I think so.
Top six, maybe?
Yeah.
Right? You can legitimately say so.
That's fair.
He revived Keiserato. He revived himself Fallen. Who take on the IGL role, obviously, performances of Molodoy. This kid is mega aggressive but smart at the same time. He rarely misses easy shots. When you compare him to oppers like that potato from Liquid Ultimate, who goes and misses everything all the time and he keeps going for the shots.
Really unfortunate of the Polish player, but it's honestly it's a coincidence. It's a pure coincidence, guys.
There's just a lot of them.
We swear. I know. But by the way, can D-Hal someone come back and be really good? We desperately need a good Polish player to support, guys. Come on. Come on. Help us out.
The impact that this kid has on his team is something that reminds me of Monacy joining G2.
Okay.
Obviously, he doesn't have, you know, the team that G2 had with Nico and JKS and Hunter and their form back then. But he has a decent support crew in the sense that Keiserato is playing well. Fallen is kind of, you know, doing his job better than, you know, all the other previous IGLs for Furia. And then, like I said, his individual performance is beyond anything that I could have imagined this kid do. Like I said, his mobility on the map, his reasoning, decision-making, aggression, and then playing it safe, and also hitting the safe shots and knowing when to back off. He makes some mistakes here and there. Let me remind you, this is the first Tier 1 professional season that this kid is playing, and he's playing on a very high level. If he played for that DMS team, that bunch of Russians that, like, couldn't hit shit, and he played in some random team, whatever. Those are all Tier 4, Tier 5 teams, right? Even worse. And then he jumped into this Furia Brazilian team, with three Brazilians and Yekinder. Completely different cultures, completely different people, different language, and he's performing so well right now. The reason why people are not considering him top three right now, because they have to consider Shiro's
name
and
value.
Monacy's.
Yeah.
And like, it's just because they're Falcons and Spirit.
Absolutely.
It's like, one for one, if you look at the impact that She-Ra provides for his team, Molodoy provides for his team, and Monacy, who lost his soul completely ever since he went to Falcons, and has no desire, looks like he hates playing the game. Like, this kid is the best out of three of them. And he's in the best form right now out of three of them. She-Ra is the one that can contest it. But in the overall comparison, without they taking Spirit into account and Donks, and I think this kid puts up more impact and better, obviously, firepower for his team than She-Ra does for his. And I'm not even going to talk about Falcons.
The only way that Molodoy is more impactful, in air quotes, than She-Ra and Monacy is that Furia's success depends on him more than Spirit depends on She-Ra, than Falcons depends on Monacy, because they have other superstar players that can carry the burden in the case that their opper doesn't deliver. But to say he's number three and that he's better than Monacy and She-Ra is downright insane. It is crazy. That is absurd. I think Molodoy is a top five opper. I was thinking of even making that a hot take, because when I was talking to Launders and Scrawny at the last Blast event, and they threw 910's hat in the ring because he's actually shown some great stuff.
Oh, hell, what?
In arena,
you know,
I don't think.
Like,
wow,
I thought that was crazy. I thought that was crazy that Molodoy wouldn't be at least fifth and that he is definitely, in my eyes, he's definitely better than 9-10. Their case being that 9-10 has actually had some really great arena performances, whereas Molodoy has been pretty shaky.
Okay.
And I get it. I mean, Molodoy also just choked pretty hard at the London semifinals versus G2. Like, he was a shadow of himself. He was taking bad shots. He was missing. He was losing track of where the G2 players were. And that's why I would never put him as third, because he loses track of what tier one teams are doing in the middle of the round still. If they're running a strategy that has layers to it and he has to figure out what's going on, this is his weakest point for me right now. He actually gets fooled more than many of the other tier one operas right now. I would rather, if in terms of positioning right now between Torzi, Zywu, Shiro, Monacy, he's easily the worst of those five right now. In terms of pure mechanics, I like him more than Torzi today. I like him more. Sometimes I like him more than any of them. I actually think he does things that some of those guys can't do. The way I've always perceived it after watching his demos was that he re-peaks in ways that nobody else does, and he gets away with it in ways that nobody else does. He finds these really good timings for it. I think he's sick. Top three, though, is crowning him before he's earned it for me. I haven't seen on stages that he's actually earned it, whereas I've seen from Monacy, and you're saying name value, but even this year, I've seen Monacy do great things on stages. I've seen at the first Blast Open Lisbon event, Monacy was great, and Shiro was, but they were both great. Shiro was actually great at a handful of events this year. Obviously, Zywu gets in the ring, even though, my eyes, he's a hybrid. Even if I went with the hybrid argument, I'd still say Torzi is the more consistent player over Molodoy today, and he's just a smarter overall player. So I want Molodoy to get there, and I think he will, but it's too early for me.
I don't mind this as a way of like getting us to break down AWPers and how do we see them and what role do we play, but I sort of am leaning more towards Maui here, because here's the thing. If I make my list of top five AWPers, the immediate problem I actually run into is what Maui just said at the end there. It's that we're not just talking about if I put you in a random group stage game, who's the best AWPer in the world, right? That's a different conversation. In that conversation, I'm with you, Kasad. Maybe actually I'd have Molodoy third. I think number one would be Zywu easily. Number two, I actually think would still be Monacy. I actually think Monacy is getting slept on now, mate. He's had the odd series that wasn't that good, in fact including this phase one very recently, but he's had some unbelievable series as well. He's had some fuck where smurfed. It's just the problem is there's not that many teams, so unless you're beating Vitality or Mouse, no one gives a fuck. So at the moment no one really cares, and by the way, even then he did great again in that one. I know it's a third place game against Vitality if you count that game, so I still think Morrissey's really good. The problem is after that, if I'm just doing like no playoffs, it's just a random group series, yeah, maybe Molodoy can be third for Kassad's reasons. He has to do way more than a lot of the other AWPers. If I look at Shiro, Torzi, I think this guy's to do way more for his team. And by the way, I also think he's a way better T-side player. And I'm sorry, I don't believe they're piloting him and telling him, like, system. It looks like he just does it himself, mate. He's aggressive, all poach, take shots. He's not the fucking guy who sits at the back of the pack and lets all the riflers go first. Like, so I do think he is, like, a really high-impact player. The problem is what Maui said there. Here's the difference, right? I think Shiro has to have and has way less impact than Molodoy does relative to his team. But I've seen Shiro do it in all the major playoffs. I've seen him do it in all the colognes, the kind of eights. Same thing if you want to even go with Torzi. I've now seen him do it a few times. The problem with Molodoy is he has only been in those scenarios a couple of times. He has had some pretty big chokes. Now, that is his first year at tier one, like you say, because I don't blame him for that. But that's why I can't like immediately put him ahead of like some of the others. So I think realistically, he'd be more like fourth or fifth. If you want to do just like take out playoffs, just a run. If the whole of CS was just a giant Swiss system of 100 games, Molodoy could be third. I'll give you that. I do think he is like underrated in that sense. He also looks like in the future he could be actually like in the. Yeah. Here's the cool thing: he could be contending with Monacy for that second spot, mate. He has the talent. I think so.
That's why I'm taking it early, because we are also forgetting the one thing that I also said is the fact that he went to play with Brazilians. If you look at Shiro, he went from Cloud9 with Russians back to Spirit with Russians. Nothing really changed for him. He just got better players, right? He speaks his own language. Like, he doesn't really mind. Like, that helps you to perform better, right? Sure. That helps you to like be in a better, more comfortable spot as an individual. When it comes to Monacy, again, from G2, he went to Falcons, a place where he played with, you know, Nico, his favorite, whatever, right? And then he's going to feel more comfortable, right? Then he's not going to be in a new position. He also has better teammates than both of them. They have better teammates than Molodoy does. And Molodoy still gets with all these things and the fact that he's super young and the fact that it's a bad first season on international, proper international land CS in a high tier competition. He still puts up that much impact for his team. That's why right now, overall, it's pretty clear that Monesi is better, opera and a player and whatever, right? Overall thinking, experience, like all these things, right? The same goes for Shiro, obviously. But when I say it's like right now in this season, in this part of the season, if somebody told me to pick three opers, you know, 1, 2, 3, I would pick, you know, Zaivu, Torji, Molodoy, the Shiro, Moniz. That would be top five in my kind of list.
By the way, I definitely did. As I pointed out, though, on the Shiro and Torji ones, I think those ones are really hard to evaluate, though, because I do think they're on teams where they can be in this conversation, but I don't think they have as much impact as all the other people on the list, in my opinion. They just don't, like, Torji doesn't have the same ceilings. Shiro just doesn't have to. That's not his style of play. He plays within his own game, doesn't he? So I think it's a decent convo. It's a decent convo.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay. Here is my take. Even though, as a quick preamble, I actually do think people have just gotten really bored by the way of, like, conflict of interest and, like, things that are really complicated with nuance. Because if people don't know, I'll just say it as a little intro. I think the fact that FaZe Liquid game just took place is one of the biggest travesties in Counter-Strike esports in many years. If you don't know, it's actually insane because even though Liquid won the game, Twists in every sense was incentivized to actually throw that game, if you don't know. Like, yes, that could risk him getting stickers. I mean, his team doesn't qualify. There's a million reasons why he actually, on paper, should have actually just gone, oh, I had a bad game today. Fuck. Just couldn't get into my game. Got killed a few. The fact they won that game is the only reason there's not any drama. Like, it's actually really good for CS that. And here's what I'm going to say now. So Twists is going to FaZe. We know this. Technically, we don't actually know who he replaces. It's implied it's Rain based on all the things people are saying. There was even that cool HLTV shot I saw they did. Did you see it when they did a camera shot when they were playing Liquid against FaZe? Made it so he showed Rain and then he moved to where it was a mirror and on the other side of the mirror, it was reflecting Twists. That was, by the way, that's like art. That was great. That was fantastic whoever did that. But here's my point I'm going to make. When Twists joins FaZe, technically this take will apply to any player he replaces. But I'm assuming he replaces Rain and that they're going to keep the Jacob guy. They're going to have Brokey and Frozen and then Carrigan's going to IGL. Right, I'm just going to say, I think a bunch of things. My big hot take is this. I actually think Twists in FaZe this time will not only be worse than he was just in Team Liquid. I think it'll be as bad or worse than he was the last time around in FaZe. I actually don't think this is good for either party personally. I think people are on some really weird nostalgia trip. All they're doing in their brain is replaying him doing that fucking cologne, drop off the fucking rock onto the hot and then kill Electronic. They act like that. He did that every round in FaZe Clan or something. Here's why I don't think it's going to work. Because boys, even when he was in FaZe Clan, he wasn't the big dog. It was people like Rops, Brokey had massive... Even Rain was a fucking MVP of a tournament, for fuck's sake. It was a collective effort. And also, you had like the best closer in Rops. You had at the time a mega impact player in Brokey. You had all these Carrigan was considered the best IGL, calling like a fucking god. Also, by the way, it was MR15, which meant that if you are a Twists, you don't have to have a whole half of impact. You just have to have that one big round. You have to have that one big 1v2, or you have to get a double entry out of Nuke running it. Even the way Carrigan described this, I could tell he was visualizing the same thing we all are. Think of those rounds where Twists just, maybe it was the Major or whatever, he ran through the hot and killed the first two people, and you were like, awesome. Again, that was one key moment. That's like a flashpoint you're thinking of there. It's not what he did every single half. It's not what he did every, it's not even a roll, for fuck's sake. That was just a great round. So basically, I think everything in FaZe is worse now. The roster's worse. The IGLing's worse. The map pool's worse. Everything seems like it's worse. So I actually think, even though I love to do Hopium for fucking FaZe, this isn't it for me, boys. I think Twists himself will be worse. I think FaZe is going to be way worse.
I think the only winner in this transaction is Liquid getting rid of the tumor that was poisoning their bloodstream of a team and getting a leash, obviously.
These are all Kassad's words. We are not associated with what he's saying right now. We're just on camera at the same time. Love you, Twist. Love you, Liquid. Keep going.
The tumor that was poisoning the team, the person who wanted to bench himself 3 times.
All right, Kassad, fair enough. You aren't trying to get fist bumps from people in the bar. I acknowledge that now. I retract that statement from earlier on.
And getting rid of him, which is something they were supposed to do a long time ago when he commandeered this team.
Last year, basically.
Yeah. And then getting a leash back can be a little bit of a tricky thing for them, because if Elige realizes the things that I realize about Ultimate, they're pretty easy to spot. We might see another drama in Liquid, considering their coach is kind of a...
By the way, that sentence, we might see another drama in Liquid, definitely not a hot take. I feel like that's just like saying, the sun might come up tomorrow. Like, yeah, I agree. We will eventually see
but the thing is
another
that
drama
their coach
in Liquid, including around the AWPer, believe it or not. Who could imagine? Who could ever imagine?
Yeah, we're back to 2016, 15, whatever it was. The thing is, like, their coach, Flash, right now is the guy... Who is he's a decent guy, but he's a rookie coach. I don't think he could be able to handle the drama from Elige, especially who is a veteran of the thing, right? So that's one thing that kind of comes to my mind when it comes to this. So is it going to be better for Liquid? And 100%. I think that the team is going, especially after this qualifying for the
team. He's done it again, Maui. Playoffs. I thought I was doing a great job building a take. He's already just instantly gone, I'll raise you. It's better for Team Liquid that Twisted Leaf. He's like, fucking hell, you win. There you go, there's the hot take. It's better than mine. Throw my hot take out. Mine was just a waste of time. Explain it. Yeah, keep going.
Like I said, for the side of Liquid, they're going to end up in the major. They managed to win the game. Maybe they won, but still, they're in a good spot right now considering this thing. So it might be a good for Team Liquid, like a breath of fresh air, depend how Elige, like he goes into the team, how he's like and how he accepts the flaws of the team that are in right now. If did he mature or not, or whatever the fuck happens with Elige, right? Your point about the conflict of interest, that is fucking crazy.
It's mad, isn't it? That no one
that
cares.
Did he manage to play that game for the playoff spot? While on Twitter, in his bio says, professional fucking Counter-Strike player for FaZe.
If people don't know, and to be fair, obviously Maui's American, we actually have this covered in football already. In football, if you like transfer to a team, you're not even allowed to like play in certain cups with that the past team was in. Like, we've already got all this stuff like sorted. I'm amazed that would have allowed Kassad for real. I would have thought
there would be some, there was also like, that was the fact that it was allowed was crazy enough. And nobody stepped in to stop it.
No.
The other thing that was crazy, they didn't even disclose any kind of details saying, like, listen, we know there is a possible conflict of interest. The contract is valid from this point and this point. We did this and that and what nothing. They just, let's play for fucking Liquid. Even though they're playing for FaZe for the playoff spot and the major spot, nobody cares. Like, it's just, let's just pretend it's not there. That's a fucking travesty right there.
Yeah, great.
That's one thing. And at the end of the third part of your take is the FaZe. How is it going to look?
How do you think he'll do a FaZe? Go on, what's your prediction?
He's probably going to try to do the same thing. I don't think he realized, because I don't think he realized what he did in Liquid, what the bad things he did in Liquid, right? So if he did realize that this is what I did bad, this is what was shit, I wasn't supposed to do this, this was my bad and blah, 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 whatever. If he realized that and went with that mindset to FaZe, he could make FaZe better. Okay. I don't think he would do it. I think he was coming in with the same mindset, trying to recreate what they did in 2000. What was the year?
2023,
Yeah, trying to make that happen, even though the players are different, the game is different, the competition is different. Like, it's not possible, right? And for FaZe, it means one fucking thing. It's a fucking end of FaZe that we know. Of championship FaZe, of FaZe that we expect, of FaZe that to be in the semis, in the finals, in the quarters, that's going to be fighting for the titles. No, that FaZe is gone. And I don't think it can be recreated in the next 12 to 18 months, outside of them paying shitload of money for the players of, you know, superstar caliber, which we know they don't have money for, and they don't really do it. On top of the fact that Maui's point with Neo, and then my point with Carrigan, and then, you know, all these things, it's going to be a disaster for FaZe. They're going to be dragging along in the events, maybe possible some honeymoon period, even though that's a fucking big question mark. With this competition, with Falcons G2, Spirit, Vitality, Mouse, all these
there's
teams,
killers. They're in trouble, man.
Whoever you put in FaZe right now, is FaZe going to have a chance against them?
The problem is, I keep saying this on shows, what people are missing is, yes, the elite teams aren't as strong as the first season, but the bottom half of the top 10 are killers now, bro. The bottom half of the top 10 is, like you said, Furia, Aurora, Falcons. Mate, Na'Vi's fucking ninth. Like, it's really hard to just get the playoffs now, mate. In real tournaments, it's going to be fucking hard, yeah.
We forget Aurora and Mongols. Like, you know, we didn't even mention them. So, and there is the underdog teams, like, it's so hard for FaZe right now, unless they make more changes and do something that's really like kind of out there, outside of the box thinking kind of. I don't see a way out for them, and I think this was a mistake. And like I said, the only winner for out of this conversation and of this trade is Liquid.
I would say that FaZe got a slight upgrade. If it's rain, I would say Twist is better than rain today. I don't think that this is going to bring them back to contention. I think that the main point I have around this and Twist returning to FaZe is he just realized he's not the guy. He can't be the guy on any team. He can't be the number one option. He learned the hard way that he doesn't have superstar material around him. And that's, I'm lightly glad that that happened, because the narrative surrounding him and Allege always was, and honestly, I even fought for the wrong side of this at one point. You know, I thought that it didn't really matter that he wasn't the guy. He was the winningest player of that Grand Slam Liquid lineup, but Allege was the guy. Allege found out what you could do being the guy for that team. The ceiling, we saw it. We saw the multiple championships consecutively. We saw what, as he tried to be the guy, and it almost feels like, in a weird way, Twist is trying to, he's still like trying to chase the ghost of Allege. He still looks like he's trying to chase what Jonathan couldn't do. Russell's trying to see if he could do better at it. It's kind of a weird career move as he tries to just continue to build a case that he could be NA's GOAT, because I don't really see a way that this makes you a championship contender. I don't see that but he wants, it feels like he wants to prove that he can be better than what Allege was, and I don't think he's going to do that. I think that Twist is such a great glue guy player. He might be one of the best glue guys I've ever seen. I think he's kind of like he's almost like the rich man's FNX, which is kind of a crazy thing to say, because FNX obviously has a couple majors, but I never really saw FNX as the guy, but he was so good at just slotting in, doing what needs to be done, playing off of teammates, pretty fairly clutch, you know, actually could, you know, squeak out the round here or there that was kind of came out of nowhere and really shocks you. And Twist was a better version of that in his career, I would never want FNX to be my number one option.
But I know what you mean, Maui. Like, I'll give you an example. Here's where I'll actually give an olive branch to Twist fans. You know, if Simple had have really joined FaZe, I could believe there's a world where, like, Twists and Simple would work better than Allege and Simple for that exact reason, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, that's totally fair.
He understands, he reads what a team needs around him and can fill those slots a lot more adequately than Allege. Allege was more dogmatic about his own approach. He wanted his own flowchart of how the game was being played to be adhered to by everybody else on the roster. Again, this is speculation. I'm not inside.
No, of course.
This is me giving my thoughts on just kind of outlining what it felt like from everything I had heard and what I saw. And how FaZe they couldn't work around Allege. They couldn't work around a system. But Twist understands the Kerrigan vision. He knows how to work into that. And this is, so I think in a lot of ways, this is actually good for FaZe. But the weird thing is, I actually think this is bad for Twist. I think Liquid actually had more upwards mobility.
Thing I find weird. To me, I think Liquid is way closer to like one player joining. Like, if they just changed the AWP in Liquid, I think Liquid would be way better than FaZe. With Twists.
If Liquid literally just had Brokey, if I could do one thing, if I could have Twist for Rain on FaZe, or if I could have Brokey for Ultimate on Liquid, I'm taking Liquid easily.
Yeah,
easily.
Absolutely.
I would say Brokey's way better than Ultimate. And so that's like an aspect, but I just don't think the pieces around him look any better today. That might be a little bit tough to say just because of the VRS standings and how Liquid has kind of fallen off a bit. But Shuhei to Kerrigan, I still stand by the fact that I think Shuhei is the future version of Kerrigan. It's taking a while to get there.
But this way, if we did like a Kassad with the AWPers, if we started today, Maui, and we're just getting given these groups of players, you'd rather have the Liquid players to start with than the FaZe players, right?
For the next 12 months.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's
for the next 12 months.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. But also, totally Maui, Twist is not a glue guy in any sense. He's the guy that...
By the way, he doesn't mean like emotionally. He means like, as in fill like roles within the team and connect the team together. You know, he doesn't mean like personality-wise, Kassad.
I feel like that those two things should be connected.
I do know some people take glue guy
in the structure of a round. in the structure of a round, I think that Twist
like be the you know the guy that kind of connects things in game on the server because
okay, I agree. Okay, I agree with you.
It's gonna be harder for you to like you know. But the thing is, like, I feel like the Twist is the guy who is gonna be friends with you only if you are a good player. If you shoot really hard, as soon as you stop fragging, he's not your friend anymore. That's the type of the guy he is, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't. I mean, I wasn't referring to any out of server dynamic. I was only referring to what I see in the middle of a round when Rain and Kerrigan are going for the entries, and Rops and Twist are left alive. Twist knows he has to go first.
He's one of the cleanest, cleanest players in the server.
Oh, for sure.
Like, his mechanics are the fucking crazy. His movement, everything he does is so clean, and like it's right when you see it.
It's why the one thing
have to connect it.
By the way, one thing I'll give him mad props for, because even people like Yekindar can't say this. Mate, he's actually one of the only star players I've ever seen that did keep their skill while large yelling with no drop-off. You're right, Kassad. Like, his game was still fucking sick. He could individually shoot just as hard as Nigel. He just wasn't doing a very good Nigel job.
Unbelievable. Yeah, the multi-frag potential, the cleanness of his fucking game, and the fucking raw skill that he possesses is fucking
awesome. Oh, and by the way, this take isn't Twist sucks, that's why FaZe will be worse. Essentially, this doesn't... We were saying earlier about Neo, this doesn't even vaguely fix FaZe, in my opinion. Like, again, if you were telling me I'm getting simple and Twist, well, now I'd be fucking hyped, bro. Like, hey, let's go. Like, let's roll. But if your idea is Twists is Gandalf coming over the hill to help you win the battle, mate, it's over. We're all dead in Helm's Deep. Like, that's it. We're not winning this battle. Like, we're not winning the fucking Budapest Major. And by the way, doesn't that kind of disturb you about FaZe? Surely FaZe should be in the position. Think about all the conversation we had at the last major. The idea of FaZe is going to, if they even get there to the Budapest Major, not even be a relevant contender. That's a bummer. Like, I thought by now they'd have like fixed it and they'd be gunning for the top four spot, you know, and they'd be trying to win the bit. It's kind of a bummer that I feel like we're in purgatory if you're in FaZe. You know, we never get out of it. We never succeed. What's going on?
Feels such a waste to get rid of Elige, like that player in this age, right, of his career. And then you decide to keep Rain for this long at the same time, right? For the past how many years? 2-3 years, right? And then you gave Brokey multiple chances and you decide to pass on Elige, who you... It just... That tells me that changing Neo wouldn't change FaZe in any direction. It would just be the same shit with maybe a better coach. That's it.
Do you think Kerrigan is the one who decides all this shit?
100%. There is no other person who can do it. Do you? It was like that even when Janko was there as a coach, or whoever. Like, you know, it's just the phase is organization. They are structureless. They are making shitload of money. With I read it today somewhere that their partners, like they made their partners $75 million worth of, like, you know, sales and shit and whatever. You know, the Nikes, the whatever the fuck is it, right? So they are a money machine as a brand, but they lack structure. They had like person with decision making power.
Because by the way, I'll give you an angle I've never heard anyone say before. You know, the actual problem I think Kerrigan has, Kassad, is he's never been in this position before. He doesn't ever get to stay in teams for 3 or 4 years. He normally gets kicked after like a year and a half. So he always gets to just have the players when they're good. So what we've never had to actually expect, he left in the case of the Last Mouse run, right? If you think about the Last Mouse and this phase now, I actually think if he'd have stayed in Mouse, he would have made the same mistake he's making now in phase, which is this Kassad. Because he knows what Chris J brought to that Mouse team, he would have been loyal to that guy forever, bro. Even though eventually, like Rain, eventually the player, even if they do bring extra intangibles, eventually they're also not a good enough player. Like, I'll give you another analogy. In football, I do think Kerrigan is the guy who would never ever kick like Tony Kroos or fucking Modric. He would keep them forever, bro. But the problem is, eventually you become 45. Eventually you can't actually kick the ball anymore. Eventually it doesn't matter how great what you can do. People don't get it. I am a massive Rain fan. But actually, that's another reason I don't want him on this team, because I don't want to remember him at the end as the one who held the fucking team down and stopped them winning. Like, if he wants to play, I always say this. I will never say Rain should retire. If Rain wants to play, say yes. Mate, do you want to join Gamer Legion? If you want to join I'm not trolling. If you want to join Gamer Legion, you can go and you can be in Major still. You can fuck around and get in the odd playoffs. You can still be a guy we all cheer for.
That's the JKS trajectory, right?
JKS. That's a great example. Yeah, I love JKS and FlyQuest. I'm going to fucking enjoy the fuck out of watching him play there, because now I'm never looking and going, he fucked up the game for Liquid. That's what I hate, is when it makes me actually have to like fucking be bummed out about a player I like.
This brings us to, like, when did we start doing this show? A year and a half ago?
I think it was actually maybe... 2023, maybe something like that. Yeah,
close to 2 years, let's say.
Maybe end of 2022. This is,
I think we had like we talked about Rain being able to, like, you know, needed to be replaced, and like Faze needed to be.
It's actually about, I think Bowie said it. I think that take has been said on this show more than any other take ever. And the only reason it remains a hot take is because everyone loves Rain so much. We all do.
Yes, the reason why I'm mentioning it right now, the 2023 thing, is the fact that this is all the consequence of not taking any action back in 2023.
You actually had a take like this, I remember, a long time ago, Kassad. You were right. Your take, here's where you were right. Your take is, because FaZe did the whole, like, this is good enough, and they didn't do what you should do in Premier League football. Every season you sign new players, you sign better players.
Yes.
Because they, you're right, because they didn't do that, they went from being, we're only ever one player away, to now they're like 2.5 players and a coach away or something. Like, now they fucked
up. I mean, the fucking academy team.
That's why, by the way, here's the other thing. I'll tell you a hot take, but it isn't a hot take. Surely everyone agrees. If that rumour that Frozen might leave is true, then FaZe is done, cooked, and at that point retire Carrigan, Crane, do whatever you want, mate. Like, it's over at that point. If Frozen leaves this squad, they are like 3.5 players from being a fucking good team, mate. It'll be, it's over. Yes. That better not be real. If that's real, it's going to be a bomber, mate.
There were so many things they could have done, like, back from, create an academy team.
Yep.
The budget for the academy's team is like 15k. That's like 50% of, yes, of 1 month.
By the way, here's why, Kassad, it would even be genius to have a real academy team in FaZe. Because if there's ever an IGL where you couldn't attend the event with a fifth player and you had to bring him as a stand-in, Carrigan's entire career is doing that. They would be the best player ever. Even just did it with fucking Simple. That would be the best player to bring the rookie in for one event and see if they're good. Yeah, of course.
Yes, imagine if they did it like and got a player like Molodoy into that team.
Absolutely. That's not impossible.
Players like that. Yeah.
Imagine if Brokey plays bad and you can just bring Molodoy in, mate. It'd be unbelievable, wouldn't it?
Yes. But they didn't want to do that. They wanted to stay loyal. We are FaZe. We have magic in the fucking arenas. We're going to play with Rain until he's fucking 87. And then who the fuck cares? We all love Rain.
By the way, am I the only one who's missed that part as well? Like, here's why I don't get why people are still riding with FaZe and be like, the whole identity, I'm a FaZe fan. When I said I was a FaZe fan, I didn't just mean a FaZe jersey. I meant what you're saying. I mean, like, every time you're in the playoffs, it doesn't matter their form, they might fuck around and take the best team in the world to overtime. They might win that. They don't even do that anymore, boys. Am I missing something? Like, what I used to enjoy is not... It's why I don't like Brokey anymore. Yeah, he did it at that one last event. But before that, he was definitely not doing any of that shit, man. I was watching, like, where's all the magic? Where's all the FaZe magic? And it was none. It was fuck all.
It's gone.
It was bumming me out.